For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you for the abundant provision that is provided by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the purchase that was made, that precious blood that was shed. And we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I pray that tonight you have come ready to mix your hearing with faith, that you're not asleep, either physically or spiritually, but that you're awake and that your heart is ready to soak in the Word of God. Because if your heart is ready to soak in the Word of God, and by that I mean you're mixing the hearing, the inner man hearing, with faith, that is, I choose to believe, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of perhaps pain in your body, regardless of that, we're not saying the pain does not exist, but we do say that there is a solution to that. There is a solution that has been provided by the Lord Himself. In other words, healing is available for believers. Health is available for believers. Tonight we're going to look at healing and recovery. What does it mean by they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? A lot of people, when they think of healing meetings, and I pray that you don't think of that here, is they think that there is somehow a zap transfer of power. But that's not the connection point. And the vast majority of healing is in a progressive, or we start to recover from the moment we believe we receive. And certainly the great majority of things that I have experienced healing from in the past have been of that nature, where you receive your healing and there is a thankfulness for that because you've received it, and you will start to notice changes happening in your body, in your mind. But you've got to be consistent in your believing. Let's have a look at 1 John 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 John 3, we're looking at verses 8 and 9. And this is a significant couple of verses in the Scriptures which tell us why Jesus came, why He was manifested. We know that God was manifest in the flesh. It's talking obviously about the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says in 1 John 3, 8 and 9. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. A lot of people puzzle over verse 9 because they don't rightly divide the Scriptures. You see, that which is born of God is your spirit, little s spirit. Your mind and your body is not. Okay? So when your spirit is born again, it's made pure, holy. The Bible talks about you have you're a partaker of the divine nature. Because that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, born of the Spirit, is Spirit, little s. So we see that there is the destruction of the works of the devil in that area, but there's also the destruction of the works of the devil in the other areas that God wants manifested in our lives. So just as Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, he wants that destruction of the works of the devil, this is good destruction, to be evident in our life too, so that There are things that might need to be destroyed in our lives, such as infirmity, such as sickness and disease and so on, such as poverty, etc., that God may have his perfect will done. Let's have a look at Acts 10, verse 37 and 38, and we'll see one category of works that the devil is extensively involved in Acts 10. So, Jesus came to destroy. Destroy is a very strong word. Destroy the works of the devil. Destruction. Okay? So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, some people say, oh, God's not a destroyer. Well, yes, he is. He destroys evil works. Okay? He destroys evil works. And one of the works of the devil is evident in Acts 10, 37 and 38. And notice what it says here. It says, that word I say ye know, it was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So what went out? What was published? The word of God, wasn't it? The word of God. What needs to go out now for people to have faith and to mix faith in hearing? It has to be the word of God. And the word of healing really does need to go out, because healing is part of the gospel. Healing is part of the good news of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and that is manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? And we see that's the purpose. So verse 37 says, that word I say ye know. So these people that he's talking to knew that word. Should we know the word of God? Yes, we should. In our heart. Not just head knowledge, in our heart. In our heart. Mix it with faith, and it becomes profitable to you. Okay? Hear the word of faith, and it is nigh thee. It is near you. It is in your heart. So ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed, this is what they knew, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Significant words here. What was one category of works that the devil was doing? He was oppressing people, oppressing them with sickness and infirmity, oppressing them. Now, we read before, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what's he doing here? Jesus is going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So put those two together, you can see that Jesus is manifested. He was doing to do good and heal. And what was he doing? He was out destroying that work that the devil was doing, which was oppressing people. As he says here, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, if God was with him whilst he was doing good and healing, then he was doing God's will. Can you see that? God's will is for good to be done, for the destruction of the works of the devil to be done, for healing to be done. Now, we saw that there can be a new creation of your spirit, okay? But you've got to also walk in the spirit so that you can partake of the other things that are in salvation, so that you can partake of being transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can be a partaker of the healing of your body. Okay, it says the Spirit quickeneth our mortal flesh. And so we know that the body and the mind, they're things that God wants to work in too with his power. So link that scripture that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And here we see Jesus in his manifested power and glory, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And he is still doing good and healing. He's still doing good and healing. But you've got to believe that. You can't just say, well, that's relegated when he was on the earth. He was powerful when he was on the earth. Well, yes, he was. But he's now in us, and he's in the church, and he sent the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in us, and he's working in us. The Bible says, strengthened with all might. Okay, that's us, to be strengthened with all might in our inner man, so that we might then, from the inner man, things will happen with the outer man and with our circumstances and so on. See, nothing will happen without us, in terms of appropriating God's blessing, without us starting in the inner man, believing that we receive. So Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We see, therefore, that oppression of the devil in the realm of sickness and disease and infirmity must be something that Jesus came to destroy. Came to destroy that. Have a look at John 4, verse 34. John 4, 34. Now, we just read that God was with him. He was doing the will of God. He's doing the will of God. The will of God. Settle it in your heart. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what thought might come to your head, no matter what someone might say or write in a book, no matter what, it is God's will for his children to be healed and walking in health, free of pain, free of infirmity. Now, I know that sounds, to some people's ears, that would sound an alien thing, but that's because they have not rightly discerned or divided the word of God. Look at John 4, verse 34. John 4, verse 34. And notice what it says here in John 4, 34. We read, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Okay, so what was Jesus doing? The will of God, the will of the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was sent by the Father. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So, therefore, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil must be the will of the Father. I mean, this is so easy to understand. We must see that therefore Jesus has provided for the whole man, spirit, soul and body. And when he came, that was his purpose, to come to destroy the works of the devil. When he came and was made a curse for us, that fact that he was made a curse for us shows us that everything connected with sin, everything a part of the curse, a curse that of the law, everything connected with sin that would destroy people's bodies, destroy people's minds, destroy people's lives, Jesus came and paid for freedom from that. Freedom from all of that. Because he came to destroy the works of the devil. Have a look at Deuteronomy 28. Verses 58 to 61. Now this is one that's well known amongst faith circles, this scripture, and we should understand this in our hearts and minds too, because to put it into your heart, you need to be reading it, you need to be studying it, the Word of God, you need to be putting your eyes onto it, getting it into your ears, and mixing it with faith when you come under the preaching of the word as you do tonight. So it's not something that comes about by a random thing. God has a particular way of doing things. Now, the Bible says that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus was made a curse for us. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We'll read that in a minute. But have a look at what Deuteronomy 28, 58 to 61. This is part of the curse of the law in 58 to 61. It says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now this is the part of the judgment on sin, okay? We must see it in that context. But you see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent to do the will of God. The will of God has never been for people to have that sickness upon them. The will of God has been for his people to be free. But you see, where there is disobedience and sin, there is the curse. Where there is forgiveness of sin, where there is salvation received and believed, there is freedom, there is blessing. And the Bible also says in other parts, choose blessing. Choose blessing. Blessing and curse. Which one would you choose? Choose blessing. Have a look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. So we see a very significant statement here. Very significant statement in Galatians 3:13. Why is it significant? Because it shows us what he has done for us. And therefore, not only has he done it for us, but he's done it for all mankind. Okay? All of mankind he's done it for. Whether they believe it and therefore receive that, is up to them. So there's going to be people who won't receive, who won't believe. But Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You may have read that many times, but you've got to approach any of the scriptures with faith, believing. Because the devil, remember, the devil does not want destruction in his camp. He doesn't want destruction in his camp. He wants to build his little things into people's lives. Now they're called his works, right? But the Bible says Jesus came, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Think about that. Destroy the works of the devil. We have to have in our lives the destruction of the works of the devil and the appropriation of the blessings provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus was made a curse for us, we don't have to be cursed. Isn't that right? We don't have to be cursed if Jesus has made a curse for us. For us. That's a substitutionary sacrifice. He was our substitute. He was made a curse for us So he hath redeemed us is a past tense thing which we need to say, on the cross something happened. And Jesus was buried, raised again on the third day, went to heaven, ascended into heaven, and presented to God the Father his blood, the sacrifice, the payment made. As far as God the Father is concerned, it's done. What we have to do is approach it all in faith, because it's by faith that we walk, by faith we live. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Faith in what? Not just faith in nothing, but faith in his word, faith in what he said. Oh yes, but I've got this pain in my arm. You know, I had pain in my legs at one stage. But what I had to do is receive healing, like us all. Believe the scriptures, receive the healing. I remember going into a prayer line once, and I was thinking to myself, before I got up, I'm going to receive my healing when I get laid, the hands laid on me. And at that time, my legs were covered in what I could only think now were was some sort of rash, and it was covered like that for at least a couple of months. These sores, this rash, and I remember very clearly making a decision that I was going to receive my healing when I got up, when I had my hands laid upon me. And this was at a healing meeting of a faith preacher. If I told you who it was, you'd know who it was. And do you know, when I had made that decision, I then thanked the Lord, and from that time forward, now I'm not lying, from that time forward it cleared up. And I guess it would be within 3 weeks, it was almost all gone. And yet I'd had it for several months. And it was vexing me. But I had to approach this by faith. I had to approach it by faith. This is many years ago. Well, over 20 years ago. And that thing has never returned since. But I had to approach it by faith. I had to say, well, recovery is available for me. Let's look at Mark 16, 15 to 20. Mark 16, 15 to 20. And God is good. He has put provision. He has put provision in salvation for people to be healed, and not only healed, but to stay healed, to stay healthy. But if you are sick, you can take hold of the scripture that we're about to read, and you can say, well, I believe what this is saying, and I'm going to act upon what this is saying in belief. In other words, you mix your hearing with faith, and that's how it will profit you. That's how it will profit you. You see, what will happen many times, particularly with those who are ignorant of the scriptures, is that the devil will come and whisper in their ear and say, "Ah, you're not going to receive, or you've never done it in the past, or it's not going to work, it doesn't work anyway, etc., etc. Or you've always had this," and so on. But you know, that does not nullify the fact that this is available. The fact that Jesus has purchased it for you. The fact that it is available today. Remember, Mark 16 is in the New Testament, and it's talking to the church. Mark 16, we'll read from 15 to 20. This is Jesus speaking. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So you can see there's a believing component for people to be born again. And if they don't believe, they'll not be born again, and they'll be damned. But there's other components to the gospel too, and this is what Verse 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." What's that? "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That sounds like a promise. Do you think that sounds like a promise?
Yes.
Sounds like a promise, doesn't it? "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." It doesn't say, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and there'll be a zap, and instantly they'll be healed." Now, listen, I believe in instant healing. I know of instant healing. But do you know, 90% of the time, the recovery starts, and there is a recovery process that happens, and it's according to your faith. You know, some people might not be able to believe for an instant healing, for example, of their eyes to be opened, or for the lame to walk. But they might be able to believe that recovery starts so that things are starting to go towards the state that God wants me in, which is a state of wholeness. So, what is the promise? "They shall lay hands on the sick." The sick person comes in faith, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. A sick person can say, "My recovery starts when hands are laid upon me." I gave you the example that I had of that leg rash, which was vexing me, but I made that decision in faith. And there was a recovery which went, in my case, it went for 2 or 3 weeks. But it cleared up because I stood on the word from then and I said, "I have received my healing." Now it's important, once you have hands laid upon you, that you are consistent in your confession and you also keep your heart so that you're looking at the scriptures, you're taking it in, you're bringing it in. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, the Bible tells us. So you want that sound heart of believing. It's no use getting prayed for and then the next day, "Oh, it hasn't worked." Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're believing? Or are you believing, "Oh, I feel a little bit better the next day. I believe it's working. I am recovering." Why? Because the scripture says they shall recover, and I believe the scripture. And so I give you thanks, Lord. And every day you might see a little bit extra recovery. "Thank you, Lord, I'm recovering." Thank you for that. Thank you for that extra movement. Thank you for that. And you've got to take the scriptures and run with the scriptures, not with your own. And often it's not just your own thinking, but it's a devilish thinking which will be against the scriptures. See, what does the devil want to do? He wants to keep his works in place. What does Jesus want to do? He wants to have healing of all that are oppressed of the devil. So it's not hard to understand. Spiritual understanding is what we need. Okay? This is important. Believe the scripture. And when there is that contact point of faith, the laying on of hands, and that's what the scripture says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." That's a promise. Do not nullify your recovery the very next day just because you think the pain's still there. But the pain might be a little bit less than it was the day before. You give glory to God and you say, "Thank you, Lord, for that. I am recovering. I am recovering." And you keep on going forward in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You think about it. I'll just go back to my leg rash experience. If I hadn't come up and said, "Well, I'm going to make that decision with this specific prayer line," I could have suffered for another few months, perhaps even another year. So what's the difference? What happened? Well, there was recovery between 2 and 3 weeks, or I could have continued who knows how long suffering. And this is important for us to see, that as you are recovering, you give glory to the one who has provided that recovery. Isn't that right? God has provided the recovery, because it says they shall recover. If you look at verse 20 of Mark 16, it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere." This is why I think preaching is so important, because people need to hear preaching, otherwise there's no faith. They need to hear the word. "The Lord working with them and confirming that," what? "Word, with signs following." So what are you believing tonight? If you came up to be prayed for, what are you believing? Are you just believing the words of a man, or are you believing the words which have been preached? "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Okay? So if you do want prayer tonight, and you can believe that scripture, and you can say, "Well, I can believe that if I come up and hands are laid upon me, that's the start of my recovery," then I encourage you to step out by faith. And then don't nullify that. But give glory every day from that time forward, because you believe it by faith. Now, if you can't do that, leave it. You need to get, if you do have sickness and infirmity, don't put up with it. Get into the word. Get your heart built up. Keep on going into the scriptures. Okay, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep getting into the word. Keep getting into the word. We'll finish with Luke 17, 11 to 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. You know, one of the interesting things that Jesus said to people was about their faith. Their faith. Okay? Their faith. He brought it back to their faith and their believing, as thou hast believed, and according to thy faith. And as we're going to read here, let's have a look in Luke 17, 11 to 19. So a lot of times, people's faith need to be built up. Now, of course, if people go to churches where they don't hear the full gospel, in other words, they don't hear anything about healing, or they hear a distorted version of healing, preaching, there's going to be no opportunity. Or if they don't investigate or look into it themselves, there's going to be no opportunity. But praise the Lord, you've got opportunity tonight. Luke 17, we'll read from verses 11 to 19. 11 to 19. Verse 11 says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" So you could see it was right for them to look to Jesus, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Okay, they were cleansed. It's important, that's good. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." Should you be giving thanks to God for your healing, for your recovery? Yes, yes, yes. "And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger.'" Now this is the next verse is very significant, because if you don't want to fall into the same trap, you need to heed what this says. "And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Do you think that faith and thanksgiving go together? It does, doesn't it? Faith and thanksgiving go together. This is why I say, when you get prayed for, recovery is available, be thankful. The Bible says be ye thankful anyway. There's many scriptures that talk about giving thanksgiving to God. Be appreciative. We should be anyway. Without Jesus, we have nothing. With him, we have everything. We have blessing. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. But give thanks to God. Give him glory. Give thanks to God. If you have prayer and then wake up the next morning and there's a little bit of improvement, give thanks to God. Don't give thanks to, oh, I had an extra pill and that did it. No, give thanks to God. And every day give thanks to God. Whether you feel like it or not, comes down to that. But give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. So tonight I want to invite you, if anyone does need prayer for healing, would like the laying on of hands, let's close our eyes and bow our heads for the moment and thank the Lord for his victory. And I want you to, in your heart, search your heart and say, Lord, I believe what has been preached tonight. I believe in the laying on of hands for the sick. And I believe that recovery is available for me. Praise the Lord. And the Lord's saying to you now, he's saying to us all, he's saying, believe that recovery is available for you through what Jesus has done. Through what Jesus has done. God wants his people free, strong, even to the end of their days. Even to the end of their days on the earth. He wants us all free. Father, bless everyone here. Let hearts be open to receive, to believe, in Jesus' name.